Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris Cheek of the Brugger's Franchise Opportunity. And Brugger's is known for authentic boiled and baked bagels. Brugger's bakers lend their expertise to crafting a variety of other stone hearth baked breads, such as ciabatta, and the exclusive Softwich, a softer square bagel ideal for sandwiches, in almost 300 neighborhood bakery cafes in 22 states, including Alaska. Brugger's offers a warm, comfortable setting for guests to enjoy a wholesome meal. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to check out our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising, on our website, franchiseinterviews.com. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend?
Week's going well, Marty. How about yourself?
Good. It's going well. It came by quickly, didn't it? It seems like we just ended our show yesterday, and here we are again. It's just the weeks go by so fast.
Yeah, they really do.
I have to congratulate you on that 10-year anniversary. It looks like you made it, huh?
Made it. My friends lost a lot of money.
There you go. You know, well, that 10-year is a milestone, and I know we usually have good plans, usually go away to the beach, don't you?
Yeah, I really can't, believe that. You know, the last 5 years has gone so quick, and, and now we have, kids, and, I'm excited about this weekend. My daughter's having her first dance recital.
I remember you mentioning that. Yeah, that should be exciting. That's another milestone, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're excited about that. I mean, who knows, maybe it might be her last, too.
There you go.
She's been practicing, she's cute, it's nice, so...
Does she get stage fright, Don, or, or is this her first
We don't know. They had a little song recital at their preschool, and they were up in front of people, and it wasn't, seemed like it wasn't a big deal.
Oh,
to my son, it seems like he's not worried about people or a crowd.
Right,
with her,
right.
We're not sure yet, but...
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's interesting. Our last show down, we met with Tarek Farid, and Tarek Farid is the CEO and founder of Edible Arrangements International. And today, Edible Arrangements has more than 730 locations and have been named by Inc. and also Entrepreneur Magazines as one of the fastest-growing franchises of 2006 and 2007 and one of the top franchise systems in Entrepreneur's annual Franchise 500 magazine in also 2007 and 2008. Thought it was a fantastic show. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, Tarek did a great job. We knew it would be a good show. We were, of course, looking forward to it. Talked about his background in retailing and, just came upon a great concept and has run with it. I mean, as you know, I've witnessed their growth and success firsthand from our financing services.
Right.
I've really seen their growth and, they're just going to keep getting bigger, of course.
It seems that way. It seems like they're just going to keep getting bigger. I mean, they get a lot of great PR, too. I mean, I've seen them over the last year. I mean, they've been featured on CNBC. One of my favorite shows, Donnie Deutsch's The Big Idea.
He
was on that. So he kind of has this celebrity status as well, Now he was featured on our show, Franchise Interviews, So,
I mean, it's really a franchise, which is hard work, of course, but I guess it makes the franchisee feel good because it's, of course, it's something fun for people to receive. I mean, it's almost a guaranteed smile when you receive an edible arrangement.
I'm glad you said that because you and I have both, we were customers, to edible arrangements. I've actually received an edible arrangement about a year ago. And Tarek said, that their goal is always to produce that wow factor, to wow a customer, when you open up the door and you get this huge package, of an edible arrangement. It really does do that, and that's not so easy to do today, to wow a customer,
Right. Anybody can be a customer, too. Consumers, businesses, all kinds of occasions. It's
It's not just women, you know. I mean, it's men ordering, you know. I mean, it would be great. I was thinking, you know, to, you know, send it to like a client, you know what I mean, or a sponsor or something like that.
Right.
Thanks for your business, you know, and send that edible arrangement. I think it's a great idea.
And it has the health benefits too. We went into a little bit. I mean, you know, most people don't have enough fruit, of course.
Yeah, I mean, and now there's been like an increased consumption, I think, in fresh fruit. I think you're starting to see like schools push fruit more, you know. So it's he told a lot of great stories too. You know, he spoke about the whole trust factor. You know, Edible has some. I don't know if you remember this, Bob. They have some franchisees. They have incredible experience. I mean, some of them have been like lawyers and accountants. They have this incredible business experience, you know. And he said something interesting. You know, I thought it was a great learning lesson of that show. You know, he said, kind of put that experience, you have to take that experience and put it aside, you know, put your ego aside and say, look, you know, I just have to follow the system. That's so important, isn't it? You know,
right.
I mean, franchising, you know, the great thing about franchising is it doesn't discriminate, you know, so you can have a high school diploma or a PhD, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, you have to, and he spoke about his most successful franchisee, which I think was his third franchisee, follows the system totally. He says, whatever Tarek or the franchise says, just do it, you know, yeah, so you have to have this trust.
Right, at first that franchisee wasn't doing that, I don't think.
He wasn't doing it, right? He was actually, I think Tarek went as far as saying, I mean, he had no trust at all, you know, for what Tarek was saying. And so it was just interesting how he had that shift, you know?
Right.
So just
he had to be convinced or had to be proven to him. Then, then once he saw that he's right, just got to follow the system, then he was off and running. Also, I like Edible has that new concept of fruitation. That they've
rolled
out.
Yeah, that's interesting too, isn't it? That's another great concept, you know. So they're just doing a lot of interesting things, you know. So I was happy to have him on the show, you know. And again, we'll have to have him back in the near future.
Definitely.
So I know we got a great show today. What do we have going on today? And God, it's over like the next couple of months, actually, pretty busy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great shows lined up today. Like you said, Chris Treek of Brugger's franchise, also. Mm-hmm. Known as Brugger's Bakery Cafe. And
I have a feeling we're going to get hungry this morning after talking to Chris, but
I think you and I, before the show, we were already talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, I know. You know, it's interesting, Don, because I was doing a little research on Brugger's, and I think it was in 2006 they baked the world's largest bagel, and they made it into, I think it was a Guinness Book of World Records. You know, I'll have to talk to Chris about that as well.
Wow, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've had some interesting milestones.
Yeah. June 12th, Marty, we're meeting with Express Employment Professionals, formerly known as Express Personnel Services.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, since 1983, they're very well known. I guess they're marking their 25th anniversary. They employ over 375,000 people each year, so that's going to be a nice show. I think they have over 130 offices.
Right,
offices
I was
over just the past couple of years,
Absolutely. They've really grown, so it's just exciting to see what's happening with that franchise.
June 19th, meeting with Michael Newman, the founder of ABC, Always Best Care, and I guess they offer services including in-home care, assisted living placement services, personal emergency response. So we're familiar with this industry. We've had a couple companies on. And
I love this industry, and it just continues to grow.
Right. June 26th, meeting with franchise Sterling Optical.
Wow.
They have almost 200 locations throughout the country. They've been repeatedly named by Crain's Franchise Buyer and by Entrepreneur Magazine as one of the top franchise operators in the United States.
They've been around a while, too, haven't they, Don? It's like
1914, I guess.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean,
they
have such a long history, you know, so I'm looking forward to having those.
You have to find that out. I mean, they're probably one of the older franchises.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's, I think the oldest one we had on the show, well, one of them anyway, was A&W.
Right.
We had
Part of the Yum Brands, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember when they started, but it was a while ago.
On July 10th, meeting with James Franks, National Director of Franchising for Baskin-Robbins.
Wow, it's a big one, huh?
And July is National Ice Cream Month.
Oh, is it really?
I didn't know that.
That's interesting. Now, Baskin-Robbins has been around a long time, too, haven't they?
62 years. They've been making people feel good inside and out. We'll definitely, I love that franchise.
Yeah, that's a great franchise, you know, and it's interesting going into a lot of, like, Dunkin' Donuts in the Northeast. You know, a lot of times you see them combined together, you know, with a Baskin-Robbins and a Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. So we got, you know, several shows lined up here. You know, a few others we'll probably be announcing by next week. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot more shows I know booked for, like, July and August as well. So, as I said, it's going to be a couple busy months, but a lot of fun at the same time, you know.
And you know, as always, giving out a lot of great information on franchising. So
absolutely, absolutely. Here's an interesting article, Don, that I just wanted to bounce off you. I don't know if you saw this one. It's called "In These Tough Times, Retailers Band Together," and it was printed up on June 1st, 2008, by Betsy Cummings in Brand Week. Just go over a couple things. I won't read the whole article, but it says, "Trash bags, check. Toothpaste, check. Big Mac, check." That may be very well the typical grocery list for today's Walmart shopper. The mega retailer has been working to expand its in-store partnership with not only McDonald's, but also Blimpie. You see Dunkin' Donuts now in Walmart, and most recently Campero Chicken Chain, which caters to Hispanic consumers. It says fast feeders aren't the only ones increasingly involved in the store within a store partnership deals. Cosmetic, coffee, toy, and other retail segments are setting up shop with larger retailer shops. It says the concept is gaining popularity because it provides added convenience for shoppers looking to make fewer trips. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it, with rising gas prices? You know, you don't want to go one place to another.
Right.
It adds up after a while. It says for the brands themselves, any way that a chain can broaden its offerings and points of access can't be a bad thing, said Bob Sandelman, CEO of Sandelman & Associates, a food service consumer research firm in San Clemente, California. Just a couple other things. It says the logic is shoppers and their kids are likely to get hungry, so instead of offering cafeteria fare, bring in the brand names. That kind of makes sense. Says offering our products in venues where they work and shop makes the brand more accessible to them. So I thought that's a great – I think it's another common trend that we see going on in franchising, right, where, you know, you have your McDonald's moving into Walmart, and now it sounds like getting involved. And I think it's a good move.
Right, coffee chains and some of the bookstores, the big book chains.
Absolutely, you know. Yeah. So it's – you know, and we've had several shows talking about the complexities of finding a location, you know. So
right, cause a lot of people don't have time, or like you said, just added convenience, or just I guess toward the end of that article, because I have it too, I was looking at it yesterday, Marty, I'm glad you brought this up. Bill Lowry, McDonald's U.S. Vice President in charge of the Walmart partnership, said we're always looking to go where the customers are.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So yeah, very interesting.
That's cool.
I have something here, Marty, dated May 29th, Houston Chronicle. Economy's growth greater than expected, by Kevin Hall. This sort of ties in the whole franchise industry also.
Right,
out of Washington.
Right.
The U.S. economy grew at a faster rate in the first quarter of this year than previously thought. The government reported Thursday, further muddying the question of whether the sluggish U.S. economy is now in recession. Between January and March, the U.S. economy grew by 0.9%, not the 0.6% projected a month ago, the Commerce Department reported Thursday morning. Normally, such a slight upward revision wouldn't merit much attention, but economists and policymakers are confounded by today's economy, which is being dragged down by a deep housing slump and soaring energy prices. You know, gas prices are ridiculous, as we know.
Exactly.
Some indicators point to recession, while others suggest that the economy is continuing to grow despite stiff headwinds. We're pleased that the number is higher than the original number. Inside the numbers, the shape is healthier than the first set of numbers, Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez said. Gutierrez pointed to the revised numbers showing continued strong exports, healthier business investments than first thought, and a reduction in business inventories, which were thought to have been making economic growth appear stronger than it actually was. And you know, this is important because obviously, and we've seen it through my financing services, there's people who are just delaying their decision and starting up a franchise because they're not sure about the economy, and obviously it could be affecting the existing franchise owners looking to expand, and they're reading and hearing everything in the news about the tough economy, possible recession, so maybe they're holding off their decision.
Exactly.
And then that's obviously led to a lot of business lenders who have really tightened up. It's just you know, tougher criteria for getting financing.
Right.
And I've seen lenders do this based on what they think the economy is going to be in the next 6 to 12 months. They'll start, you know, tightening their restrictions and or their guidelines.
Yeah, if we have an opening, in the next couple of months, we should do another show, I think, on the whole lending process, you know? Talk about that again, because it's been about, I'd say it's almost a year now since we've had that kind of show, and I think it's such an important topic, especially now.
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's a good idea, just something on the current state of lending.
Exactly.
And who's getting funding, and if, you know, I know a lot of people in the, you know, the industry, so yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay.
Here's something out of Newsweek. Is there a date on this? May 30th. Nice date for myself, my wedding anniversary date.
There you go. So that one out, right?
By the Associated Press, Pizza Hut turns 50 in tough time for the industry. This is out of Louisville, Kentucky, Marty. Dan and Frank Carney borrowed $600 from their mother 50 years ago and opened a small pizzeria in Kansas using secondhand equipment in what was once a bar. These type of stories I love.
Yeah, I love these stories too.
The dream was to make enough pizzas to pay for college and earn a little money on the side for the family. The humble enterprise with a humble name, Pizza Hut, is now the world's largest pizza chain with $10 billion in annual sales and more than 11,000 stores nationwide. He says, "We were able to build something from nothing," Dan Carney said, recalling the hard scrabble early days in that first pizzeria in Wichita, Kansas, which opened 50 years ago Saturday, a couple Saturdays ago. The chain, known for its red roof restaurants, is now updating its look with plasma TVs, sports bars, and local sports memorabilia. It also is rolling out tubs of baked pasta and piles of fried chicken wings to go with its famous pizzas.
Wow.
I got to bring the family there. That sounds great.
There you go, yeah.
It is a tough time for pizza makers who are strapped by rising cheese and flour costs and consumers who have been pinched by a sluggish economy.
That's true.
But, yeah, most people obviously know Pizza Hut.
Right.
And it's always interesting. You know, people starting out, they don't really have those long, big, lofty goals. They just doing something to, in this case, sometimes just make ends meet, pay for, you know,
stories are
college.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is really... It reminds me of like the Fred DeLuca story, you know, how he started Subway with, I think it was like less than $1,000, you know. I mean, it's just incredible, you know, the accomplishment. You know, it's been a while since I've actually been in a Pizza Hut, Don, but...
Same with myself. You see them around, you just don't go there, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. I see them, you know, I have one pretty close by, you know, and it's just... haven't been in there, you know, so I'm going to have to check it out. It sounds like some exciting changes, and I think, you know, that's the great thing about franchising, too. You know, we've seen a lot of these big-name, even small franchises make some changes, significant changes to their business, you know, because you have to. It's not stagnant, you know. I mean, you have to go along with the times, you know. Times change. And
yeah, well, that's interesting. This is kind of a segue into this other article, Marty, from Brand Week. Study: restaurants beef up burger lineup. Data May 28th, Eric Newman. Starts off, where's the beef? Increasingly, it's on the menu. A recent study by NPD Group out of Port Washington, New York, in conjunction with Data Central Chicago, found that 7% more restaurants across all categories are offering burgers on the menu compared to figures from 2006. I mean, that's a pretty big increase, 7% just from a year ago.
Wow.
The study also found that burgers made up 14% of all restaurant orders in 2007, and that's representing about 8.5 billion burgers. More and more Americans are belling up to order beef. The burger is an American classic, right up there with mom and apple pie, says Michelle Schmall, VP Food Service Product Management at NPD, said in a statement. More restaurants are offering burgers because of the food's wide appeal. There is less risk because burgers consistently rank among the top foods ordered. However, key to the category's growth is innovation that has given the classic a more contemporary feel. According to NPD study, burgers made with Angus beef, a reference to the cattle breed of Scottish descent from which the particular meat comes, have seen double-digit growth over the past 2 years. This is due to the beef's adoption of major fast food chains. Burger King, for example, introduced the Angus burger in 2004, though the line was phased out. Now the chain offers steakhouse burgers that are made with Angus beef. McDonald's is currently testing its Angus third pounders in three U.S. markets. Restaurant operators are customizing burgers to reflect their cuisine and concept, Jack Lee, who's a relevant strategist at Data Central, said in a statement. Burger innovation enables restaurants to differentiate themselves to cater to the unique taste of their customers. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, you know, you were mentioning that the big companies are making changes,
right.
You know, and that just furthered in this story that the big guys are always trying something new, so to speak.
Yeah, and you have to be open. You know, the franchisee, Don, has to, you know, again, going back to the beginning of the show, you know, and the theme of last week's show is the franchisee has to totally trust the franchisor, don't they? You know, to
right.
say that, you know what, they're making the right decision. I mean, typically the franchisor does a lot of research, you know, before they go forward with some of these ideas, you know. So you can't
right.
fight them, you know, you have to go with them. And again, it's a marriage, you know, so that trust is so critical.
Right.
You know, when it comes to franchising. So that's interesting. It's an interesting article, you know. And
definitely.
I just seen Burger King, actually. I don't know if you've seen this, you know, because you and I read all the different magazines. I think they're extending their hours now as well. They're
right.
Until 2 a.m. So that's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of changes happening.
Definitely. Here's something, Marty, the Wall Street Journal on franchising. Pressure grows to rethink the use of mandatory arbitration clauses by Richard Gibson. What is the best way for franchisors and franchisees to settle their disputes? And we spoke about this a few weeks back.
Right.
It starts off, most franchise contracts once called for mandatory arbitration of issues rather than going to court. But these days, there is growing pressure from franchisees, judges, Congress, and even some franchisors to rethink that long-standing arrangement. The trend toward arbitration has pretty much ended, says Peter Ligarius, a franchisee's attorney in San Rafael, California. Among the concerns is that there is no guaranteed right of appeal. You have to take what the arbitrator decides, says Joshua Becker, an in-house counsel for fast food franchisor Kahala Group. For that reason, he says, Kahala, whose brands include Blimpy Submarine and Sandwiches and Taco Time, favors resolving issues with franchisees in court. And I was surprised to read this because I thought most was going to arbitration. It's faster and easier. But let me read on here. Another concern is cost. Arbitration can involve three arbitrators, each of whom may charge $300 to $600 an hour. Some critics say there is little incentive for arbitrators to speed things up since they are paid by the hour. Some proceedings can cost upwards of $100,000 depending on how complex the issues are and
wow.
how long it takes both sides to testify. So these days,
I didn't know that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's funny when I used to teach business law many years ago. I used to always push arbitration, you know, to my students, you know, because
right.
it was always less expensive, you know. But I didn't realize that it arbitration could become very expensive, you know.
Sounds
like
it's changing. So these days, arbitration
yeah.
isn't always cheaper than going to court. One complaint from franchisees. Because arbitration typically occurs in the home state of the franchisor, the individual involved must travel to that venue and secure temporary housing and legal counsel and
oh
bear those
God.
Expenses. Even Congress has gotten into the fray. Last fall, Senator Russ Feingold from Wisconsin and Rep. Hank Johnson, no
right.
relation, of Georgia, both Democrats, introduced what they called the Arbitration Fairness Act of 2007.
That's
part of their concern, says Senator Feingold, is that mandatory arbitration clauses are slowly eroding the legal protections that should be available to all Americans. Their bill would apply not only to franchising but also to consumers and employees. The proposed legislation, which is being reviewed by the Senate Judiciary Committee, wouldn't prohibit arbitrating a dispute, but it would prevent one party with greater bargaining power, typically the franchisor, from contractually forcing individuals into arbitration. And the last thing here, the International Franchise Association, a trade group representing franchisors, opposes the legislation.
Right.
Contending it would make existing binding arbitration clauses in franchise contracts unenforceable, but several consumer and employment rights groups support the measure.
Wow.
Who spoke to us about this? I think it was Nancy Lenard, right?
We've had several of our guests actually, you know, talk about this, you know, but
right.
I had no idea. I mean, again, you know, I'm always, you know, when I'm talking to prospective franchisees, you know, telling them about the whole arbitration thing, you know, I better be careful, you know, what
right.
What I recommend.
Yeah, I was surprised to read this. I thought arbitration
I think a lot
was
of people
kind of the norm.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah because as you said, it's been a trend for a while, you know, is to push arbitration. I mean, there's always the other alternative, which is mediation, you know, where,
right.
You know, but again, that's not legally binding. You know, you have to get the two people to kind of come to an agreement. So that's
and this
a,
was
a
topic,
article.
Obviously, because most people don't think about what happens if the relationship goes sour. In
where
a
was that article done? Was that also in Newsweek or
Wall Street Journal?
Oh, it was Wall Street Journal. Okay,
right.
Very good. Okay. Well, today, Don, we have a great show. As we were saying earlier on, we have very special guest Chris Cheek of the Brugger's Franchise Opportunity, and Brugger's is known for authentic boiled and baked bagels. Brugger's bakers lend their expertise to crafting a variety of other Stonehearth baked breads, such as ciabatta, and the exclusive, you and I were talking about this earlier, the Soft Witch, which is a softer square bagel ideal for sandwiches. And in almost 300 neighborhood bakery cafes, and they're in 22 states, including Alaska, Brugger's offers a warm, comfortable setting for guests to enjoy a wholesome meal. Hey, Chris, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing super. Hope you are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Chris, joining us is Don Johnson, who's the my co-host and president of Diamond Financial, and I know Don wanted to say hi to you, Chris.
Hey, Chris, thanks for coming on. Chris and I have gotten to know each other a little bit from financing talk, and I know that'll continue with the growth of Brugger's, and you have a lot of good stuff going on with the franchise. I'm sure you're pretty busy, Chris, these days.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm based out of the airport versus an office.
Yeah, we've heard that before, Chris, yeah.
You know it's pretty bad when you start to recognize flight attendants.
Exactly.
That you've seen before.
Oh, that's funny. I wanted to congratulate you, too, because I forgot in the introduction. I understand you guys just recently celebrated, was it your 25th anniversary?
25th anniversary, that's correct.
That's great. That's a milestone. Congratulations.
It is, particularly when you think about the retail restaurant industry, brands that have come and gone and brands that have stayed. We're very happy to have been around for 25 years and be on a very good trajectory right now on a go-forward basis.
That's great. That's terrific.
Chris,
and
also winning some awards, Chris, I guess, tops
yeah,
in your category
that.
With, some leading, business and franchise magazine. The Entrepreneur gave you a pretty nice award.
Yeah, we've won the Entrepreneur Award, number one in our category, for the last 2 years, and many others. Probably the one that, from my perspective and parochial viewpoint, we're most happy with is we've also been in a top 50 franchise business review as a publication that reviews franchisee satisfaction.
Right, right.
They poll your franchisees and see if the franchisees are happy with the relationship and their decision to join Brugger's. And we've been pleased enough to be in their top 50 for the last 2 years, which are the only 2 years we've actually been polled by franchise business review. So we're excited about that, too.
Yeah, that's great. We've actually referenced them before, haven't we, Don? Franchise
yes.
Review.
Right.
So that's that's another milestone. So that's fantastic. Chris, we always like to start off by asking our guests where you're calling from today.
I am calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay, good. And I know your headquarters is based in was it Vermont? Actually,
Burlington, Vermont has always been the headquarters of Brugger's. It was actually developed, founded by two longtime Burlington, Vermont. Gentlemen, started 27 years ago. Of course, the first one was opened 25 years ago in February.
Right, right. That's fantastic. And what were you doing, Chris, before joining the organization, Brugger's?
Before I joined Brugger's, I spent 6.5 years with a startup franchise brand called Bear Rock Cafe. We were lucky enough to grow Bear Rock to about 50 units around the country with a number of additional commitments beyond the 50. Bear Rock Cafe is a fast casual brand that would be in a similar competitive vein as we are, Panera Bread, Atlanta Bread, and so forth. So I was with Bear Rock Cafe helping them build and grow their franchise system and program from company-owned collection of restaurants here in North Carolina to, as I said, almost 50 around the country.
That's great.
And that's great experience because it's
right.
not like you're with an existing system, had everything set. I guess you're seeing it really built from the ground up, so to speak, having to franchise the concept and, see it in its early years.
It was very interesting. It's a fast learning curve because you don't have the infrastructure and the resources around you that larger companies do. So an individual in a company that's smaller from a franchisor perspective gets involved in a number of different things that from my perspective, is to accelerate your learning curve about the overall industry.
Right.
That's great.
And how long did you say you've been with Brugger's now, Chris?
I've been with Brugger's almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years this September. I've been a fan of Brugger's, by the way, for 23 years. My first experience with Brugger's was as a college student back in 1980, I'm dating myself, 1984. When Brugger's was just beginning to expand nationally and beginning to do what we're given credit for, and that is take the authentic New York bagel nationwide. So I've been a fan for a long time, an employee of the company for 2 years this September.
And you say you're down in Raleigh. Aren't there a few locations down in Raleigh?
As of today, and we're still growing in this market, there are 18 Brugers in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill market that we refer to as the Triangle. The Southeast has become a good growth area for us, all the way down to Florida, where we have a significant number of new franchise commitments. Of course, we've got a very strong foothold in the Northeast and Upper Midwest and the Southwest are other areas that we're seeing a significant amount of growth on a go-forward basis.
Wow, that's
great. Yeah, and I know you have a lot here in, I think it's Pennsylvania as well, too, Chris, more towards like the western part of Pennsylvania, like Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh has been a long time, very successful market for us. We have recently committed to the Philadelphia market for company-owned development, so happy to report you'll see three Brugers open up, Brugers Bakeries open up in the Philadelphia MSA over the next 4 months.
That's fantastic. I'm not that far from there, so that's great.
You know, here's a question, Chris. How many total sky miles have you built up over the years?
Well, you know, when you're in the restaurant business, you have to fly the least expensive flights you can. So
I'm not
always riding the same carrier enough to build them up.
Yeah, exactly.
There's certainly a lot. And here's the interesting thing. We just, about 18 months ago, began pursuing airport concessions as an extension of our brand development.
Oh, that makes
right.
Brugers had never been in airport concession space before.
Right.
And we've opened two locations, one in the Cincinnati airport, one in the Boston airport, a third to be opened in October here with Raleigh-Durham's new terminal. And as a traveler, while I detest air travel delays, as a company who has some parts of our business now based on delays, I'm sort of it's sort of a bittersweet thing for me.
Sure, absolutely. That's
I mean, it seems like a natural fit, of course, because you're right. With traveling, there's always delays. People are traveling all times, and it seems like that's going to be a successful revenue stream for your company, being in the airports, Chris.
Yeah, there's two keys to it, obviously. One is you have to be post-security in this TSA-based security world we live in right now. You have to be post-security, we feel, in airports, number one. And number two, you have to have a good location in an airport because unlike a traditional street location, you can't really do – it's tantamount to nil the marketing you can do in an airport. In other words, if you have a bad location in an airport tucked around – you know, at the end of the terminal, behind the corner, no one can see you. You really can't do direct mail inserts. You can't run around the airport handing out coupons. So you have to be post-security, and you have to have a good location in the right airports.
Right. That makes sense.
Chris, talk a little bit. I mean, you mentioned how old the organization is, I guess about 25 years. But talk more about the history and, I guess, the company – how it evolved into the bakery cafe concept.
Well, the founders of our company, Mike Dressel and Nord Brew, spent about 2 years researching the authentic New York bagel and developed a way that they could translate that into a franchise system. Obviously started off with a company-owned approach for the first 10 years. So just as a point of reference, we've been franchising for 15. The brand has been around in a retail sense for 25. They began developing a series of company-owned bakeries around the country for the first 10 years, making sure that they had the system figured out, making sure that the first franchisees that joined the system weren't learning along with the franchisor. And I think that's important when you're looking at a franchise system from a prospective franchisee standpoint is sometimes it's exciting to join young, fresh, new systems. But you want to make sure that you're not making mistakes along with the franchisee, the franchisor, that the franchisor.
Right, you're not part of the learning curve. Yeah,
that is correct because being part of the learning curve can be expensive to a franchisee.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's true.
And obviously we grew the brand or the company was grown around the authentic New York bagel as taste evolved. Consumer taste evolved over the last 20 years. We note the emergence of the fast casual brands. It really came out in the late part of the last decade and the first part of this decade, people expecting more bold flavor profiles, more unique items, more chef-created items, different decor, different environment that they that guests preferred to dine in. We obviously, along with many others that have been around before the growth of fast casual, had to grow our menu, our decor package, our product offerings, speed of service, along with that, to be a part of the fast casual growth curve. You know, the fast casual segment is the fastest growing segment of the which categorizes fast food or QSR.
Right.
And so menu involvement, adding more items that that allow us to deliver more than just one day part.
Right.
Proud to say now that if you think about a bagel bakery cafe, one tends to think breakfast. But now system-wide, half of our revenue occurs after 10:30 in the morning. So we feel like we've been very effective in adding chef-created salads, sandwiches, you guys alluded to earlier, our softwits, our ciabatta, wraps, and then our authentic New York bagel. The important thing is we're a bakery, and we look at ourselves as a bakery. So we're not going to get too far away from our core because we think that's where franchisors and brands really creep into areas of high risk when you start getting far away from your core. We'll always be about a bakery and a bakery cafe. But that said, we will continue to expand hot menu items and chef-created flavor profiles for our guests because we think that's important.
I see you have wraps. So, I mean, it seems like lunch, you know, lunch can possibly be taken over breakfast at a future time. Is that where, you know, Brugger's is heading towards?
I think I don't think that's part of the strategy. We obviously are very bullish on breakfast and think we have a unique offering for the breakfast guest.
Yeah.
And we just feel like we also want to offer a lunch daypart solution for a number of different reasons. We think it's part of being a successful brand in the fast casual segment. In today's economy, you guys may have talked about this on earlier shows with some of the retail lease rates that are out there. There's some landlords that are very proud of their property. And so with some of the lease rates that we're seeing and have seen for a number of years, it's incumbent upon a brand to be able to serve more than a single day part these days because we're looking for power centers, lifestyle centers, places where our guests goes about their everyday routine. We want to be there for them. And those centers can be somewhat expensive these days.
And I guess with Brugger's being more well-known, and I guess with the state of you know leasing these days, I guess you're working more from strength as opposed to years ago.
Well,
helping your franchisee find a location, of course.
We are working from strength. We are working from having a very flexible footprint when we go to landlords. If you look across the Brugger's system, our traditional bakery cafe is 1,500 to 2,500 square feet. All that said, though, we have a number of units in our system where we co-locate with another brand, say a Caribou Coffee, for example. You know, a landlord has a 4,000-square-foot piece of property that they really don't want to carve up any smaller.
Right.
So we'll take that jointly with a non-competitive partner. We've got several locations where we don't bake on site. We've had great opportunities to go into locations that may be 1,000 square feet or less.
Right.
Great locations, just not large enough to facilitate baking on site. We'll bring fresh product in from a nearby local bakery. So we also have flexibility in the overall footprint that we develop. We don't pound fist on the table and say we must have exactly 2,000 square feet and 55 seats inside. We look at each opportunity in and of itself pretty much and say, is this a good location based on everything we evaluate? Is there a return on investment associated with this location?
Right. And Chris, just you know, staying with the history part of it, I guess Brugger's brought on some new owners about 5 years ago, and I guess that's helped to really give the Brugger's name, I guess, just you know, further quality, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah, Sun Capital Partners is whom you're referring to, and I think that the benefit of that relationship is we all believe in growing our brand the right way, and that is being very selective about who you choose to award franchise rights to, be very selective about locations you choose to sign leases on, and focusing on guest service.
Right.
And that's a really great level of synergy to have when you're when owners of your company and leadership team in the company and everyone in the organization believes in growing the brand for the long term in the right way through the methods I mentioned earlier.
Right.
Right.
Sounds like that's been your unique selling proposition as well, Chris. You know, is Brugger's really does offer to their, as you call them, guests, like an experience. You know, it's the environment, the appearance, but also it sounds like there's a very welcoming feel to your customers or to your guests, I should say. You know, and I think it's so important.
There's a reason why we call them guests and not customers.
Right.
And that term guest permeates our entire organization. We really do want to treat those people who frequent our bakeries and those who are visiting for the first time as guests because it's less about a transaction. Customer implies transaction. We actually treat and describe them as guests in our bakeries.
And when you're describing the Brugger's franchise system, say a franchisee is very interested in the concept and you're telling them about Brugger's with just a few sentences, I guess that's part of the answer, is that customer really being a guest.
That's part of the answer. I mean, the other parts of it is we're proven. We've been around 25 years, franchising for 15. So,
yeah.
We have learned from mistakes made in the past. We'll continue to learn. We'll learn from our franchisees also. But we've been around for a while. We're proven. We feel like that at this point in time, we're on the right trajectory from new unit growth. We just completed our 16th consecutive quarter of same-store sales growth, which in the economy over the last 12 months we're very proud of.
Great.
And we're also, in the restaurant segment, we are, from an operational standpoint, and I don't mean to say that the restaurant industry is easy, any of it. It's not.
Right.
But from where we sit operationally for Brugger's, the hours of our bakeries, no late nights and that sort of thing,
right.
It rarely gets much easier in the restaurant industry than what we do.
Right.
Again, not to say it's easy, but simplicity of operations, no late nights, it makes it very attractive for folks looking at entering the restaurant industry or adding another brand to their portfolio if they're an existing restaurant franchisee.
Absolutely. We're talking with Chris Cheek, who's the Vice President of Franchise Development for Brugger's. And, Chris, this is a pretty big market that we're talking about. How big is your industry?
Well, the QSR, or fast food industry, of which we're part of, just like Panera and Subway and Burger King and McDonald's, is roughly 100, this is the U.S., $120 billion a year in revenue.
Right.
Now, big numbers like that sometimes are hard to understand, and I often compare it to another industry that people hear about a lot and experience a lot. If you look at the motion picture industry, the U.S. motion picture production and distribution industry is only a $33 billion a year business. So you look at the QSR segment of the restaurant industry, and it's a multiple of that industry. And that's just QSR. That $120 billion a year does not include full service.
That's incredible.
So you're talking about a $200-plus billion a year business if you look at the entire U.S. restaurant industry.
Excellent.
And if you put that in perspective, in terms of franchise brands, we've seen reported, Fran Data has reported that there are as many as 2,900 franchise brands or systems operating right now. Roughly 20 to 25% of those are in the restaurant segment. Others are various other segments of franchising, different services offered there. So if you look at it in terms of number of brands that are franchising, there's about 2,900, of which 20 to 25% are restaurants. If you look at the entire segment from a revenue perspective in the U.S., the QSR segment is $120 billion a year. Fast casual, the segment that we operate in and the other brands that I've mentioned, is only 10 to 15% of that, but growing at the fastest rate within that $120 billion.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah, I wonder what the number is just for bakery/bagel breakfast. You'd probably like to have that number as well.
Well, I don't have the number at my fingertips. I think it's, to some degree, it becomes difficult to categorize who's in and who's not in that segment.
Right.
We see a number of brands that do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They're a bakery cafe, and they're attempting to be strong on all day parts, which is often a challenge in fast casual. But I don't have that number, but suffice it to say, as you travel around in your community or for other purposes, we see old brands in that segment, new brands every day. I think I read somewhere that, and this is more franchising comprehensive, they've estimated there's about 780 new franchise systems that have started up in the last 3 to 4 years. And that's franchise systems-wide, not necessarily restaurant. But, yeah, it's a moving target. But the good news I always tell prospective franchisees is everybody's got a stomach, and we all eat.
That's
right.
True. Yeah, we've heard that before.
So from that perspective and our price point, we hope, and what we've seen is we're somewhat a recession-proof business. There's no guarantee ever of that. But what we do with our bakery cafes and how we believe that we on our company-owned side and our franchisees really build a business is by making that Brugger's Bakery become a cornerstone of the community. In that sense, it makes it difficult for guests to decide not to go.
Yeah, I definitely like where your company's positioned. Definitely a lot of selling points for a new franchisee coming on, especially if they're looking for something in that food or fast casual type category. So you're going to be doing being a lot more airports, Chris, over these next few years.
Well, airports, I don't mean to say that is we're shifting all our focus that way. It is a strategic growth point for our brand.
Yeah. Well, in general, as far as traveling, yeah, you know, you're traveling, building up Brugger's. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I hope to be.
Yeah.
Chris, another question we'd like to ask our guests is, what's been one of the most interesting things that happened to you since joining Brugger's? Don and I were saying earlier in the beginning of the show, we saw that somewhere that you guys, I know you actually created like the world's largest bagel. I think it was like 800 or 900 pounds somewhere.
Well, we did, yeah. That was back in, a franchisee actually did it in upstate New York for the New York State Fair back in 2005.
That was in the Guinness Book of World Records, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic, yeah.
And one thing to underscore that, and back to my previous comment about being a great citizen of the local community, while it's certainly exciting to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the world's largest bagel, the outcome of that was that helped raise almost $2,500 in donations for charities in Syracuse, Rochester, and Albany, New York.
Oh, that's great.
So it was actually distributed to guests at the New York State Fair, and we took donations, and it resulted in almost $2,500 that went back into the communities that our franchise partner operates in upstate New York.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we like to mention on the show sometimes we hear different franchisor systems, you know, donating money for causes, like with the big earthquake in China. I think we mentioned a few things on last week's show.
We did,
Marty, about that. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Chris, you've been in franchising a while. What types of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee?
Well, I think the one of the key components of being a franchisee, being a successful franchisee, and that's what all of us franchisors look for, is those individuals or teams or companies that are going to be successful with our brand. And I think there are a couple of characteristics, but these aren't absolutes. In my time in franchising, I have seen successful franchisees come at it from a number of different angles, but I think when you boil it down, there are a couple of core characteristics that almost have to always be present for them to be successful. I think number one, and these are not necessarily in order, so perhaps I shouldn't refer to them as number one. But certainly one area is you have to be committed to following the franchisor system. Certainly on. Now, we recognize that some of the greatest innovations and products in the restaurant franchising industry came from franchisees, like the Big Mac, like the Egg McMuffin. Those are actually franchisee ideas, not McDonald's corporate ideas. So we listen to our franchisees, and we certainly look for franchisees who are going to be somewhat innovative, but the core of a franchise system and the core of being a franchisee is you follow the system that we're giving you that reflects to you things that we've learned along the way to help us all be successful. So we look for someone that's, you know, that's, that we feel like the best we can determine during the candidate franchisee phase is someone's going to follow a system. I think it's also very important to have a fire in the belly and a competitive nature. This is a very competitive business. You're talking about opening a retail facility that's open 7 days a week, as many as 400 guests a day could come through your bakery. If you don't understand the competitive environment around you, what your local competitors are doing in that 1 and 2 and 3 mile trade radius, and have a desire to want to beat them from a market share and revenue standpoint, it's a very competitive business. So we'd like to see someone that's got competitive, fire in the belly. I want to win. I want to win the right way.
Always stay on the offensive, sort of speak. Always, you know, be on the offensive.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's important. Guests have many choices when they walk out the door every day. When we're driving to work, when we're looking for a place to go for lunch, we have many choices. And you have to understand what your local competitors are doing, so you know exactly what you need to do to keep and maintain and acquire additional customers. And I think the third thing, and this is relevant to the restaurant franchising business, is I think the third thing is an importance or recognition of how important your team members are in the bakery. I think many people will argue, and I would tend to agree, that a good part of the restaurant industry is the real estate industry in disguise. But assuming we can find good locations together, which we spend a lot of time, have a large internal real estate department that helps and works with our franchisees to make sure as best we can that our franchisees are undertaking good locations. Given that, we think we have a great product, but the people who are delivering the essence of the brand to our guests are the people working in our bakeries, be they franchise or company owned. And we certainly think that someone who's a successful franchisee recognizes that the people delivering the guest experience to, you know, these 400 or 500 guests that walk through a day are the people who I choose to employ and make team members in my bakery, and that's a very important decision. These aren't, even at the hourly employee level, it's a very important decision who you give the power to translate the guest experience to.
Which all comes down to service.
Right.
It comes down to service. It comes down to some of those skills in the individual working at our bakeries you can't train. A genuine welcoming smile, a genuine thank you, a genuine desire to treat someone like a guest and not like a customer. We can train a lot of that, but some of it comes down to hiring that talent from within in those employees, and that's important for a franchisee to understand that piece of it.
Marty, we've heard this number of times. Most franchisors say that really key to the success of the whole franchise system is the franchisees. This is just taking it one step further, just making sure you have a successful team, that franchisee's store.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, and I'll give you this. I'll just give you a real quick example. You know, as you're looking to open a bakery, you'll get, you know, as you interview for management team members, you'll get an awful lot of resumes, particularly in this economy.
Yeah.
And one could go through a stack of resumes, and you'll see a lot of them that meet all the qualifications you're looking for to run your bakery. What you don't want to do is pick the one who's the lowest priced, who says, I'll come to work for the least amount, and look at it that way. I call that building your business from the bottom line up, not the top line down. And I believe in this business, it's important to build a business from the top line down, not the bottom line up.
Right.
And so, you want to look for that individual in that stack of resumes after you've met with them one or two times and done some research on them from a reference standpoint, who's going to deliver the essence of the brand to your guest, not the person who's going to come to work for you for the least amount of annual W-2 salary.
Right. Well, I mean, all great advice, what you feel the top characteristics are. And, you know, maybe talk about training a little bit, Chris. What goes on with that?
We have a 5 to 7 week training program. Let me step back and talk about the franchisees we look for and how that plays into training.
Yeah.
We believe that that when we are awarding franchise rights to a new franchisee, we are doing something that is very that requires an awful lot of due diligence on both parties' behalf, and particularly from the franchisor's behalf, because we're handing them, in one sense, the keys to the kingdom to represent our brand. They're going to put up our sign. It's going to be their building, their employees, their investment, but it's the Brueger sign that goes on the front of the building. So when we choose to give someone the ability to, via a franchise agreement, to go out and represent the Brueger's brand, that's a serious decision, because they can either augment the value of the brand, or as we've seen in a number of cases, bad decision on the franchisee side can impact negatively the value of the brand. So we look for franchisees who come from a lot of different backgrounds, but we require at some level in the franchise ownership of the company that's becoming the franchisee to have restaurant experience. So we're okay with investor franchise owners who don't have a restaurant background, but we require them to hire an operating partner who has the ability to obtain equity in the business. Or, of course, we also, if you have restaurant experience prior to joining Brueger's, then that's not a requirement, because you have the experience you're bringing to the table already. So what that means is our training programs are 5 to 7 weeks, depending on your level of restaurant expertise or knowledge of what we do. And we offer that at certified training bakeries around the country. So typically you get to travel to the training bakery that's closest to you, and these bakeries have been certified as training bakeries because, you know, the management team understands inside and out our operating manuals, our procedures, our systems, whether it be how you slice a bagel and package it to go, all the way down to HR policies. And the training program is very comprehensive. Most of it is working in a live operating Brueger's bakery, and there's a portion that's also a classroom. But we think 5 to 7 weeks is a great amount of time working in a real bakery,
right,
to get the system under your belt.
Can't get more experience than that, and
yeah,
top training, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, we have about a minute left. What's the best way for someone to get more information on becoming a franchisee?
Probably the best way to get information on becoming a franchisee is go to our website, www.brueger's.com.
Okay,
there is a franchise
section.
It's a very nice
website, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, and we're in the process of developing a new, nice new website. Not that the one right now is not serving our needs, but we'll have a new. You'll see a new Brueger's website in the near future, or you can go to franchise@brueger's.com. That's an email address that'll get you right into our system. Also on the website, there is a quick application. So once you get to the franchising section of our website, there's a real quick form. It takes a few minutes just to fill in your basic information. And once you fill that in and hit send, our objective is to have someone speaking to you ear to ear about a Brueger's franchise opportunity within 4 to 6 business hours. And we work real hard to reciprocate someone's interest in our system with their ability to talk to someone on the phone and find out more about the market they're interested in or the requirements for franchisees or what have you. So if you go to www.brueger's.com, go to the franchising section, there's a lot of information, a quick application there. There's also franchise@brueger's.com will bring you to the same point, and our objective is to get back in touch with you very, very quickly to put you on the right path.
You're doing a great job, Chris. Keep up the good work.
Great job, Chris, again, congratulations on the 25-year anniversary, Mark. That's fantastic.
Well, I appreciate it. The good news is we're growing both on same-store sales, and we're growing in company-owned development and franchise development, and we're excited about where we are, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio with you guys today, and if you need me on for any other reason, please don't hesitate to get me back on.
We're going to have you back, Chris, as we watch you guys continue to grow. That would be fantastic.
Definitely, Chris.
Love the opportunity.
Thanks, Chris. You have a great day today.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Great
okay.
show, Hondo.
Bye-bye.
Another great show. Great content.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an industry, you know, specifically their niche that we haven't had on yet. So it's always interesting to, you know, just in general, to hear each different franchisor. And, you know, we've had all different levels of people and all different experts and,
right,
you know, levels of things. We've done so many shows. It's always interesting to hear the franchisor's viewpoint on certain things and how they train their people. And yeah, he brought up you know, great points. We knew he would be a nice guest.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pretty intense training program, isn't it? It sounds like, you know, it's
yeah, 5 to 7 weeks, and most of that is, you know, working, you know, looks like in a cafe.
Absolutely. So that's fantastic. So another great show. So you did a good job today, Don. Again, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com and subscribe to our newsletter and franchisefunding.net and gofranchise.com, right?
A hot new website.
There you go.
Also has all the interviews. Yeah, it's, you know.
That's right. Who do we got next week, Don, for the show? Next week, I forget, we've booked so many.
Yeah, next week we have on, let me see here, it's not
Express.
Sterling Optical, it's, let me see.
It's on our show page.
But I have my notes in front of me.
I know it's on our show
yeah,
page.
Yeah, it's Express Personnel Services.
Okay, fantastic, right.
Yeah.
So, again, another great show next week, and over the next 2 months we have a very busy schedule. So, again, great job, Don, and I guess I'll be speaking to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Marty. Have a good
Don.
Day.
Take
care. Bye-bye.